this is a fairly hospital which is not in a like tier one city, right, in India. They don't have access to this specialist, and they are using AI to alleviate that today. So they are using AI for reading their chest X-ray scans, read the CT scans. You are basically making healthcare, you know, this advanced diagnostic imaging and advanced technologies, you are making them accessible to people who would not have access to them, right? Who would not have been able to afford them.
Hello everyone, Ashok here. Thank you for tuning into this 15th episode of Indian Startup Stories, a podcast thriving to bring out experiences and insights from entrepreneurs across India. Today, our guest is Sashank Chilamkurthy, an AI scientist and a founding member of Cure.ai, a Mumbai-based AI-driven healthcare company addressing the pressing need to make healthcare more accessible and affordable. Their products, specialized in radiology, plays vital roles such as diagnosis of stroke and other neurovascular brain abnormalities at much early stages. In this episode, Sashank shares his background, his passion in AI radiology, inspiring statistics with WHO standards, customer success stories, and how their products are helping people in far reach of medical facilities in remote areas, and much valuable information for us to take away. So without further ado, let's jump in. Hi, Sashank. It's so wonderful having you on this show. Thank you for coming on Indian Startup Stories today. Welcome.
Nice to be on your show.
My pleasure too. Let's start with your initial background. Please share about your initial days. How did you start your career, and how did you get into AI space?
Yeah. So I graduated from IIT Bombay from electrical engineering. So I used to be a lot of, I mean, I used to love math. So I used to like really, really love math. So in IITB, there is this thing called minor where you use it to where you can do specialization in a separate topic, right? And mm-hmm. I did that in math, and I used to take specifically courses which were like math intensive, and I did not actually know about AI until quite late, I mean in college, in IITB. So I realized in my third year that machine learning is something that I wanted to do, and I just like I just did all my stuff, all my courses, all the learning, all my projects. Starting fourth year, it has always been in AI, and I realized AI is what I want to get into. I even wrote a blog post about how I started.
Okay.
How I started in this, how I chose, how I got into machine learning, how I got into this whole thing, what were my motivations. You can check that on my blog. So after I graduated, I mean, I had two options. One, I could go to grad school, right? Option number two, I could join a hedge fund. There was this hedge fund called as Worldcon. I could join one of this. So I fortunately or unfortunately chose hedge fund. I did not choose grad school. And then I worked with them for some time. I mean, I did not like it. It was not like I expected. Like hedge funds would do school, you know, quantitative and machine learning stuff. Turns out I'm wrong. So I ended up eventually, you know, joining startup at Cure. And I mean, I have been doing that, I mean, over the time. So I figured like so many things on my own. So like a lot of stuff. I mean, I already had a lot of background with respect to math, with respect to core machine learning. That allowed me to do research very quickly, you know, and I could get into it.
Okay, that's an interesting start. Can you please talk about your company, Cure.ai? What do you do there, and what role the company plays for the society, and what are the products?
Sure. So we are founded in 2016, February, right? So I was one of the founding members there. So the first guy, and I along with the other, my colleague Preetam. So we were the guys who started, who did the all the AI stuff, you know, from the day one. Mm-hmm. The idea of Cure is to use AI for radiology. Use AI for so radiology is just like CT scans, MRs, X-rays, all those, right? Those are like awesome. Those diagnostics are awesome because you can see inside the body, right, without actually like opening it up, like surgery. You can nicely see what's happening, you can diagnose patients very easily, right? It's such an awesome diagnostic tool, say much better than even, you know, blood test in some sense, because blood test you don't get to see like what's happening physically. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's an awesome image diagnostic tool, and radiologists, right, specialist doctors who get trained for like 10 years to be well qualified to read these scans, they are not enough of them in the world, right? And that is limiting today radiology as a space. The utility of these x-rays, CTs as a diagnostic aid, right? You are not too many people are able to use it. Right. And this is where AI comes into picture. If you can use AI to make these diagnostics accessible and affordable for everyone, right? That means like there's a clear value for almost everybody in this space, everybody in the healthcare, because they can the diagnosis can be done so much faster, the prognosis can be done with better accuracy, and you can streamline the whole workflow. Thanks to like these diagnostic aids, and what's holding this diagnostic aids back is the radiology. And if you can use AI, it will be awesome. So that's the basic idea of Cure.
That's wonderful. What are the specific product which are coming out of Cure.ai? Is it addressing the radiology specifically or CT scan? If you can talk about the products.
Sure. Roughly speaking, right, we have two products. So QXR and QER. So one of them is, you can think of them as like platforms, so to speak, you know, like vaccine platforms, right? So one of them is thoracic based product. Second one of them, is neuro based product. Okay. So you have, one of them is targeted toward, you know, lung diseases like COVID, TB and so on. Second is targeted towards, you know, brain related diseases like stroke, trauma, and so on. Yeah. So those are the two main products or platforms, I would say. And then basically how we do it is we customize or we modify these platforms to specific diseases, right? So for example, we have done that for TB. We have done that for COVID. We have done that for stroke. We have done that for trauma. So what I'm saying is, hey, here's a diagnostic aid. Here's how you can use it to streamline your workflow around TB. Here's how you can use it to streamline your workflow around stroke. And you can use it to improve patient care.
Okay, it's a workflow designed for the specific diagnosis, be it thoracic or the neuro brain related diagnostics.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's not just AI. We don't want to be just AI, right? Mm-hmm. It's about AI having a real impact with nice workflow around it.
Okay, that's interesting. Taking a little step back, how did it all begin? Can you share about the spark moment when the QRide got started and any ideation phase? How was it?
Oh, yeah. There was a pretty big ideation and exploration phase, and I'm very grateful for having done that. So when we started in 2016, right, we did not have an idea that radiology is the thing we should do. We did not have that idea. We had an approximate idea that, hey, AI is growing. It's going to be really big. Healthcare is also going to be really big with respect to the data. There's a lot of data being generated, be it genomics, be it EMR, you know, the patient notes, be it radiology, be it pathology. Everything is getting digitized and all the data is just growing and growing. Right. This was the situation back in 2015 and 16. Mm-hmm. And then what we did was we basically explored, participated in different challenges, participated in, for example, work with different partners, right, in this space. And we have, say, worked on genomics. We have worked on, this is within first 1 year, we have worked on pathology. And then we realized, like, none of the disciplines in medicine, right? They are not digitized enough as radiology.
Okay.
We converged on, hey, we have to do radiology, and we realized there's like a lot of data which has been collected before. We don't have to collect again in radiology. So that's how we decided that radiology is what we wanted to do.
That's interesting. And because you are into healthcare and any products or any tools that you wanted to make has a lot of challenges, be it in terms of the licensing or be it in terms of authorization or the certification that you need to cross and all these things. So what are the challenges that you went through in your initial days? If you can share about some instances of what was the challenge and how did you solve it or how were you able to manage handling those things?
Sure. I mean, so number one, I mean, healthcare is, as you pointed out, very regulated, and I think for a good reason, because it's not like WhatsApp. I mean, you cannot kill people with WhatsApp. it's not WhatsApp, and even WhatsApp is regulated now. It's for a good reason that, I mean, we don't have to deal with the ethical concerns that there are regulated for us, which is awesome, right? So there's a lot of inertia in this space, thanks to this whole regulatory thing, right? And that basically, so we had to, for example, work on getting FDA approvals, CE approvals, and many other. I mean, we were today operate in like 30 countries. So that means like we have to get like regulatory approvals in a lot of these countries, right? And that's a big challenge. You can see it today, what's the kind of work that needs to go into vaccines. I mean, you can see it today, right? You have to do like a big trials, and you have to run it multi-center, so all that, right? And we have had to do all of it, we have done that well, actually. So today we have FDA approval, we have CE approvals, and so on. So one of the challenges is basically that running this trials itself, right? Running this clinical trials itself, it's actually pretty complicated, because the amount of stats, like amount of statistics that you are supposed to do, right? It's not trivial, and especially with AI in, which is itself very stats heavy, right? It's not like a vaccine where it's not. Vaccine is like not so stats heavy. The kind of stats you do are fairly simple, but that's not the case with AI. Here you are, things you are trying to do is very, very complicated, and that makes like the stats work pretty heavy, how you conduct the clinical trial and all those things really matter. And that has been a big, very big learning curve for us.
Okay. Yeah, it should have been. So what are the external support that you guys had to actually pull it through, be it the regulatory aspects or making your product is actually coming out, be it an MVP or the initial one?
It helps that our co-founder is a, doctor.
Okay.
She's an MBBS. She then did PhD in neuroscience, and then she's a data scientist. She knows like all the things that needs to be done, and rest of it we figured out around her.
Okay. You can talk about on the core founding team. Who are all the core founding team and who are all the members of it?
Sure. So when in 2015, I mean, we started with about six people, right? It's 2016. So it was Prashant, our CEO today. He's from Georgia Tech. He's a PhD and he has started that before, right? And then there's Pooja, whom I just described. She's like a doctor plus PhD plus data scientist. Then there's me and Pritam. We are both like AI scientists, right? And we also have Rohit, who is today leading some of our business efforts, right? And we also have Ankit, who is our product manager. Right. So that's how, that was the initial core team, and then we grew over the time. That's what we started off.
That's nice. I liked your the vision of your company, like making healthcare more accessible and affordable. Can you share any interesting stats around it, please, if you have to put it in a perspective, like how was the cost, how much it is incurred, and how your product is actually helping in terms of cutting down with a proper diagnostic workflow in place?
Yeah, sure. So we are actually pretty committed to that, our mission statement that making healthcare affordable and accessible. I can give you like n number of examples. So today we are in about 30 different countries. We today process like 10 to 15,000 scans per day, of which we probably, of which about 10% of them, right, 1500 of them have really bad, something bad in them, you know, either be bleed in the brain, either it be like tuberculosis, COVID-19, you know, something really critical. So that's the kind of patients, number of patients we are impacting today, right? And quite a bit many of them, right, they don't usually get access to these advanced diagnostics in the first place, right? Let me give an example of what we did with, say, Tejpur, right? We have recently worked with one of the hospitals in Assam, right? So here, right, this is a fairly hospital which is not in a like tier one city, right, in India. You can imagine kind of situation there is, right, in terms of the facilities, right? So there are no specialists in the hospital, right? Even if they could afford, they probably it's pretty hard to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because like all the radiologists, I mean, everybody is in the tier one cities and stuff, right? Especially the specialists, right? And so these guys, right, they don't have access to the specialists, and they are using AI to alleviate that today. So they are using AI for reading their chest X-ray scans. They are using AI to read the CT scans. You are basically making healthcare, you know, this advanced diagnostic imaging and advanced technologies, you are making them accessible to people who would not have access to them, right? Who would not have been able to afford them.
Yeah, it makes sense. When did you feel the first success or the first moment of relief after since the inception of Cure.ai? Was it because of any MVP that you showcased to your client or customers, or is it because of the statistics that you were expecting you achieved?
So, I mean, there were a lot of them over my first past 5 years. I will describe the latest one, right? I'll describe the one that made me like, wow, we are here. So last, this was actually my colleague's work. We basically over the last 4 years or 5 years, like built AI that works, that works well, right? So when I started out and when we started out, we did not have a conception that, I mean, we can be as good as humans. We never thought that would be the case. But what happened, I mean, recently many studies were done where we compared, right, where the people like WHO, people like StopTB, they compared our algorithms to humans, and it turns out we're actually better than them in some cases.
Oh, wow.
And that was that basically opened my mind that this space is like ripe for really, really disruption, much more than what I expected it to be. I'll give you a second example. I'm very excited. This happened in South. So one of our clients, right, they sent us one of our prospective clients, I mean, prospective then. So they sent us something like 1,000 scans. They sent like 1,000 scans, and then they asked us, hey, can you get AI to report them and send me the reports? Right?
Okay.
And we have this nice module which basically converts this AI, whatever AI findings, right, into nice looking report, which is like almost human looking report, right, with a nice table and nice wording and so on, right? And we have sent those reports to them. The question they asked was like, are you sure this is AI and not you don't deploy humans in the back, right? That was like mind blow number two for me. That happened like over some time. Like, really, are we that good now? And that opened my mind. Like, okay, really, really in for a disruption. We are really in for something big, and we have to keep on it. Yeah,
really interesting facts in terms of relief moment. So initially, how long it took for the company to get a wider acceptance from the customers?
Yeah. So it did take some time. So obviously, it's not like it's the technology is like risky, so to speak, in the sense of investment, right? So initially we did not have like people like highly receptive of the technology, right? So that's the case we have to accept for any new technology. If you're trying to do something new, you should be aware that people will oppose it, and especially especially if it's a completely new thing, right? So we have had fair bit of challenges. We work with different diagnostic centers, different people. I think the first breakthrough came in when we deployed in Philippines. I would consider at least I personally would consider that to be our customers in Philippines. So they started using our product to screen for tuberculosis.
Okay.
That happened about 2-3 years back. That was our big breakthrough as far as I'm concerned. I mean, people will have different stories.
Okay. That's nice. You are in multiple, almost in 30 countries. COVID has increased load on healthcare institutes too much, right? How much influence it has got in your business, and what are the changes and dynamics that you see it got changed in your Cure.ai?
Right. So COVID basically created a huge shift in how things are done. At least for us, it's really positive because we are in this AI game, right? This is a wider pattern, irrespective of healthcare. One thing COVID accelerated, you know, this pandemic accelerated, is digitalization. Everything is getting digital, including healthcare, including groceries, including real estate supply chain, including, I don't know. I mean, it's just like completely changed, right? The direction, and it accelerated the direction it was there before with respect to digitalization. And you see what that means for an AI guys like us. It means like people are more willing to use AI, because you see AI works on digital platforms usually. I mean, it's on your phone. It's on your. I mean, it does not. It cannot really work like so much in non-digital world. It's much harder, right? And that improved acceptance of AI in healthcare for us significantly. So people are more willing to use it. People are more willing to try out things at least, right? With respect to AI and healthcare, they realized that healthcare is a we have to use technology in healthcare. You can see this pattern like all over. Like you can see number of telehealth platforms that have increased, right? You can see, and I see basically AI as a beneficiary for all of these trends. And that, okay. I mean, we saw it very clearly. We grew significantly over last 1 year. For what it's worth, I have unfortunately not seen about like 40-30% of the team. I have never seen them. I mean, in picture, I mean, in real, I just never saw them. It's all like online.
Okay. True. Most of the onboarding are now virtual. Yeah. So how big is the team on the ground? And if you can talk through what is your strategy in building the team, because you are targeting healthcare and coming out with a very big mission of cutting down the cost which is spent in the healthcare. So how do you select the team, and what is the what's the formula?
Sure. So right now we are about 60 people. Almost everybody working from home. Nobody's working from office. It's like all virtual right now. So at least as far as I'm concerned, and this is thanks to Prashant, I would say, and other folks, right? So my hiring philosophy is pretty clear. Pick smart folks. Don't emphasize their prior experience, because we are in a fairly disruptive space. We need people to think out of the box. We need to people think beyond the standard industry norms, right? We need people to be hungry, right? And those are the things that matter more than, you know, prior experience. At least, I mean, this is especially true in AI. So if we hire people in AI or engineering, right, we realized that the kind of skills we want is very specific to us, and it's pretty hard for somebody out there, you know, to have exactly the kind of skills that we want. We should rather bet on, you know, young and bright folks and actually teach them the stuff. So I recently made a post about this on LinkedIn. So some of the guys, new guys who joined us over the pandemic, right, over the last 6 months, they have written awesome blogs. They have written awesome blogs about what they have learned, right, over the things. I mean, they have, for example, somebody has learned Docker, somebody has learned AI, somebody has learned like radiology. All those they have nicely documented, and you can see that. It turns out very well. Yeah, that's my at least philosophy.
Nice, nice. Want to understand how was the initial days of Cure.ai was? What are the top challenges which was lying in front of you, and how did you handle to get it going?
Yeah. So for the first year, I think the challenge was to figure out what exactly is the problem, to narrow down on the exact problem that we want to solve. Healthcare is such a big space. I explained to you, right? Genomics, radiology, pathology. There, the challenge was to explore different spaces and figure out. I mean, we explored, for example, pathology, digital, and then we realized those digital pathology scans are not really widespread, and maybe it's not a great space to be in, right? And that was the initial challenge for the first 1 year. And then we narrowed down. I mean, we did what any data scientist would do. We basically pulled out data. I mean, we realized radiology is the thing to do. Then we pulled out data from various sources. I mean, you can from various papers. What are the most common scans that are done? It turns out the first scan, the most common scan that is done is chest X-ray. And then second scan, main scan that is done is CT of brain, the neuro one that we have, I have just described, right? So those were, once we realized, hey, yes, this is what we want to do. Next big challenge for us too is to collect data. AI works on data. So you have to collect like lot of data, and that was like a hell. We had to be very patient. We work with very lot of different people across the space. We used some of the public data sets initially, then we got our own data. So data was our next big thing.
True. So how challenging, specifically on that question, how challenging was it to actually get the data, which is, of course, from the third party, and you need to deal initially with your own samples and gather without getting into the customer aspects of the actual data? What are the tools generally available in healthcare space?
Yeah. So, obviously, I just explained it's like really, really challenging everywhere. I mean, to collect data. You are in is the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges an AI based firm handles. No matter what space you are in, like, are you in self-driving cars? You need to have data, man. Are you in EEG space? You need to have data, and that makes or breaks your product. And we worked with a lot of different partners. Varieties of sources, right? And that was important for us because we had to get a lot of data and a lot of diverse data, right? We worked with very different places. So one of the interesting tech tidbits that I would want to tell is, so the reports that one good thing with respect to healthcare, right, is all of this data is mostly annotated for you already, some sense, because like you have for every scan you have a report, right? And you have a report, and that's a great thing, but that's also not a great thing because these reports are written in like free text. So what we had to do was we had to build NLP. We had to build our own NLP, despite we being a CV company, right? Computer vision AI company. We had to build NLP to parse these reports, process these reports, and get us into structured format that AI can use to, can be used to train it. So that was pretty interesting challenge that we had to face. We had to structure all this data from wide variety of process into nice format which AI can.
Okay, that's wonderful. And as a healthcare product, right, as you mentioned, it has a lot of inertia and there is always a strict governance sitting on top of the overall sector. Can you talk about the process and how long it took for the clearance or it to kickstart for the actual product to launch?
Sure. You need to have a good product market fit, so to speak, in startup lingo. So you need to make sure that product is fit to the user needs well, right? And for that, I mean, you have usually have so-called investigational use to make sure that your product that you have is actually fit to what user wants, and you can iterate on that, right? So that's how we initially did our stuff, so that under investigational use, maybe for first few years. And then we have applied for different certifications. I mean, we have worked with CE. CE is basically European Certification Agency, right? And then we have worked with FDA. The challenges I have earlier described, right, with respect to clinical trials, with respect to those. These are the same things here. Over the time, we have got other regulatory certifications as well.
Okay, fair enough. Can you talk through funding managed? Is it completely bootstrapped or any VC-backed funding?
Sure. We were very fortunate to be incubated at Fractal. Fractal.ai. We were very, very fortunate. We did not have to care about like a lot of things, like where are we going to keep servers? Where are we sitting physically? We did not have to care all of this because we were nicely incubated inside Fractal. And they offered us physical space they offered us like servers where we can keep ours, server rooms to keep ours. So that worked out really, really well for us. We were incubated there. It was great. I mean, because we could nicely develop our technologies for some time without too much pressure, because I mean that's what incubators do, right? Recently we have raised about a year ago we have raised 16 million from Sequoia.
That's wonderful. So I guess that is the recent round of funding, right? Apart from the initial incubation, and congrats on that.
Thanks.
How were the days before the revenue generation? How long it take? Was it a short duration that you had to actually need the external shock absorber with the funding or the incubation platform, or did it take too much time?
For what it's worth, we were early into this whole AI game. We had to spend quite some time working on our own product. So I think the first revenue stream hit us about like 3 years into the game. That we had to work on creating the AI that really matters. Again, that's exactly why I was grateful, really grateful for Fractal, because we had to create this AI and algorithms like in with peace. You cannot have like it's hard to build those otherwise.
Yes. Can you share some of your customers' success stories, or be it their testimonial, where you feel that it's a pride moment for you for being part of their journey?
Oh yeah, there are like a lot of them. Reshma and her team, right? Our customer success and operations team. They are like really, really awesome. So they make sure that our customer and our projects, right, which we work with customers. AI guy or the product guy, right? But it's very much worth it. Some of the experiences, let me explain. With respect to is like this TB cases, right? TB use case that I described before. Yeah. some of our customers, right? They started using our algorithms in really, really remote places, like say Africa, in Malawi.
Okay.
Right? And we have so our technology was not ready for such a beating where you don't have internet, where you don't have like proper things, right? So I mean, especially these places were like really remote. The vans were going to really remote places in the Africa, in Malawi, and they were running the algorithms, right? And we had to basically do a lot of modifications to our technology to make them successful. And the kind of feedback we got from them, I mean, that was awesome. That makes up for all the work that we put, because you really are like impacting the people. So it makes like a lot of difference.
Okay.
Kudos to our customer success team. Like, really, really awesome team.
Great. Yeah. You feel great when you see the real impact on the ground. Nice. Any instances of the mistakes that you have done so far, which you felt that has gotten more learnings compared to the other smooth sailing days? Any instances to share?
I think if you are an AI business, mistakes are what you are looking for.
Yeah.
Honestly, bad feedback on your algorithms is good for AI. Listen, because you are living on that. That's how AI works. You, if you show them like all those examples in which AI is awesome, it's not gonna work. You wanna show AI bad examples that, hey, see, this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened to us like so many times. So for example, we realized our algorithm somehow is not working on the scan. Not in real world, not all the scans are like awesomely nicely acquired, right? Mm-hmm. And make our algorithms work even on those bad scans, right?
Okay.
Generalized data gives you generalized algorithms. Yeah. So for a point of time, our focus was to make sure our algorithms work on everything everywhere. And I mean, that was thanks. I mean, we could only know like if the like customers gave us bad feedback, right?
True.
And that significantly improves us. This is just AI guys' perspective. I can also speak from like customer success guys' perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like how that improved our process and our systems, our engineering and so on. Feedback is awesome.
Okay. Shashank, you are a data scientist, AI researcher, and a founding member of a good growing healthcare company. With this baggage, what's your vision for Indian startup in the healthcare space? How do you see India be in 5 years down the line, and what are the impacts that you'd have gotten on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, this is something I almost think about daily, I guess, or like every 2 days. Mm-hmm. I feel I have very strong opinions on all of these things. I always have strong opinions on these things. So I have recently, actually yesterday, I have published a blog about how US and China are like having tensions and it might be a new Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things point out, in my opinion, that there's going to be, unless India somehow squanders thanks to its bureaucracy or whatever, there's a really, really big growth story for us. I think like for us in India, right? There are a lot of disruptions that are happening today across the world, thanks to these tensions between US and China. And that gives a very big opportunity for Indians and Indian startups to pitch themselves in. I mean, it's basically with any disruption, with any change in the status quo, you have opportunities, right? And that opportunity, like India as a country or India Indians as like startups or as employees, they can fill in. And that is true with respect to like a lot of things, counted, be it telecommunications. If you are doing a 5G startup today, and if you are like doing it well, you are in for a big deal if you do it well. If you are in battery tech, again, a big area. So same with healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to be in this space. it's again a great place to be right now. I think that's a really big growth story I can see in the next future. Unless, of course, something really bad happens. We are squandering our chances, but I see a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurs. I recommend everyone to start up.
Okay.
Even though you
on the same line, like people having big ideas and are afraid to begin with, right? What is one important quality that you recommend that they should have, or you see that they should be having to start anything of their own and excel in that with their idea?
Yeah. I was speaking to somebody right some time back. So what I realized is people might not be, I mean, people have ideas, right? People have things, but they might not be confident enough to do it. It all comes like will I able to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's that's a barrier that you have to go over. You have to start trusting yourselves. Yes, I can do it. You have to start trusting yourselves. You have to start that. Yes, I know what I say. If not, I will learn. Right? It's not like things are people overhype things. I mean, in my experience, at least for me, right? I realized I can learn whatever I want if I just want it. So it's a matter of being confident. It's a matter of being steadfast. Key. Yes, I have to do this. I think you will figure it out. At least that's my philosophy.
Okay, wonderful. Please share about the information on the USP of Cure.ai and who should look out for the solution from you.
Okay. I think USP really is our own mission statement, which is like making healthcare affordable and accessible. So this means either two things. So the guys who are already paying a lot of money for care, they can potentially use AI to decrease their costs. So this might be, say, for example, in the US, people pay a hell lot of money for healthcare, right? So that's wherever people are paying a lot of money for healthcare, they can use us, they can work with us. Second is accessible. Wherever people don't have access to the care in the first place, they can use AI, specialized care, like radiologists.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have access to them, you can probably use AI.
Okay.
So that's my
bit. That's wonderful. So moving on further with the next segment, which is a rapid fire questions. I've listed a few. Let me bring in. What's the best thing that happened to you this month?
About us, I think one of the best things happened this month is we have received feedback from some of our customers saying that, hey, this is really awesome and this is making difference to us. And that's the feedback that made my day.
Okay, wonderful. So that's a customer success story, bringing in happiness. Nice. Are you into books? And if yes, what is a book that you have read recently and which one you liked it?
I mean, I usually read like a lot of classics.
Mm-hmm.
Be fiction, be it be non-fiction. I tend to read like a lot of these books. Like, for example, the latest book I was impressed by is Interpretation of Cultures. So this is a anthropology book. It's published in like 70s maybe, but it's like a foundational book in anthropology.
Okay.
That was awesome. How the author speaks about culture as part of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
How you cannot culture from mind, that was awesome.
Okay, wonderful. What's your favorite and the tough subject in your school days?
Favorite and tough. It used to be biology. I used to hate biology.
Okay.
But my perspective on biology changed significantly over the years. I started reading textbooks of biology in my free time.
Okay.
I started reading research papers in free time.
Oh, nice.
Biology is actually ripe for disruption. You see, I think biology, there's going to be a big paradigm shift. And that's a topic for some other day.
Wonderful. And what was your favorite subject?
It was almost always math.
Okay.
Like it was like straightforward, very different from biology in sense like you don't have you don't have to remember much, you just have to remember the axioms.
True. Nice. What does creativity means to you in one sentence?
Creativity is something which happens at the edge of chaos and order.
Okay, wonderful. And what's your favorite hobby?
My hobbies change all the time. Right now it's reading. Right now it's social sciences.
Okay, nice. Who is your mentor, Shashank, and how do you make sure that your mentors are available to you when you need them the most?
So I would consider today my mentors are my co-founders, right? So Prashant and Pooja, right? I get mentored from them a lot, and I'm very grateful. And because I become working with them, I almost get continual mentorship, which is awesome.
Wonderful. That's nice. So in your startup journey or your career so far, if you want to go back and change one decision, what would that decision be?
I don't know, man. I have a lot of decisions that I think have done well, but I don't know if I have like a lot of decisions where I really messed up.
Okay, that's wonderful. So I thoroughly enjoyed this complete session, and it's very informative. Thank you for coming on and sharing all your experiences and knowledge that you have acquired. Wonderful talking to you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, we are at the end of episode number 15. Thank you very much, Shashank, for coming on and sharing your experiences. And to our listeners, you can find out the episode summary in the description. Until we catch up soon with more exciting stories, stay tuned, be motivated. Thank you.